Blog Talk Radio.
Jesus, draw me ever nearer as I labor through the
Hello?
I'm here.
Okay. Are we live, Nathan?
Yes, you live.
Okay, thank you. Well, good evening, everyone. Welcome to our show tonight, Blog Talk Radio and Seizure Talk Radio. And our special guest tonight, as always on Tuesday night, is Dr. Rhoda Zion Alali, who was graced to have an extra show tonight on the Carl Nelson Show, Radio 1, at 5 o'clock. So we're in for a real treat tonight as we get to hear a recap of that show and our two regular shows, and a special guest that Dr. Alali has on for us tonight, coming all the way from Las Vegas, Nevada, Dr. Bangston. Dr. Alali, are you with us?
I'm with you. Thank you so much, Ida, for the introduction, and thanks, everybody, for interrupting their Tuesday night schedule. Thank you to all the people from the East Coast who and from Canada who are coming out of a deep freeze. And for people in Florida and California who have the heat, please send us some. So we appreciate everybody interrupting the schedule. Has Dr. Bangston got to the line yet? I know that we're waiting for her to come in while we're waiting for her to join us. I just want to just talk about what's happening. Go ahead. Somebody said something?
I don't see her.
Okay. She may have got the issues between the time frame between here and Las Vegas. But nevertheless, we'll hopefully she'll be able to join us before the show is out. Dr. Luana Bangston, we invited her to be on the show tonight, and I'm not sure what has happened, but nevertheless, she is a very, very gifted naturopathic practitioner. She's also a clinical psychologist and a minister of God. She had just an extraordinary experience with the nanotechnology that I want her to share tonight, because she was contacted about a little girl who got off the school bus, had a seizure, and collapsed in the middle of the road. She literally was on a wall, collapsed on that wall, and was hanging over the wall. Some of you that seen the video of Haley, Saving Haley, in Las Vegas, there's actually a photograph of how they found her when they rushed her to the hospital for intervention. She had continuous seizures. They couldn't stop them. They could only slow them down. And I met Dr. Bangston, was in the television studio when I met her, and she heard me giving the testimony of the little girl in Cincinnati whose mother discovered that the nanos would stop seizures. And she got the technology, sent them out to the Children's Hospital in Las Vegas, took them over to the family, and simply placed them on the little girl, and her seizures stopped. Now, why are we talking about seizures, and why have we named this segment Seizure Talk Radio? It's because 1 in 26 people are expected to have a seizure disorder in their lifetime. So if you go down through your street and through your neighborhood and start counting 1, 2, 3, 4, and you get to 24, 25, 26, that 26th person is at risk for a seizure disorder. And you might be the 26th person. And so rather than wait until it becomes 1 in 5 with a seizure disorder, knowing that seizures can cause death. Sudden death syndrome is a real phenomenon of people with seizure disorders. It's what parents live with day and night. When their children have seizures or they themselves have seizures, they never know when a seizure could hit them. They could be driving in a car, have a seizure, and have a wreck. And so many people have died because of that very thing. So we're given time, we're given credence, we're given space, we're given recognition to the fact that we can do some things better. And today we were invited to be on the Carl Nelson Show, which is a nationally syndicated radio show that comes on. It used to come on in the mornings on Monday, but his segment has moved to the afternoon from 4 to 7 on Tuesdays. and we were on the 5 to 7 window. People are very concerned about seizure disorders and smart meters. They said when the smart meters were installed, they started having seizures, or the children started having seizures. People are very concerned about how all this wireless and Wi-Fi is affecting schools. A few minutes ago, Rob shared, before we went on air, one of our Canadian friends shared that they are pulling 150,000 smart meters out of homes and schools and community buildings in Canada. My brother is a professional basketball coach and player in France, just outside of Paris. He was telling me in his community of Lyon, they have taken Wi-Fi out of all of the schools. And so this is becoming an international phenomenon. Everybody is looking at the environment and how the environment is predispositioning for brain injury and brain and diseases and health disparities that impact the way we think and feel and our basic health quality. Because when you have seizures, you're losing energy. Your body's becoming imbalanced, and with that imbalance, we are at risk for diseases of all kinds. And seizure happens to be a disease and a despair that's in the forefront that everybody is concerned about. Because when you have a seizure, it can take you hours, if not days, to get yourself back together to where you're living a more cohesive, coherent lifestyle. And with all these children and mommies having seizures, it brings one to wonder and marvel about the stability of family as the core of community. Because when parents are sick, they can't pay their bills, they can't go to work, they can't sustain mortgages or car notes, and it becomes very disruptive to the lifestyle of children. And I share with my children, I said, you know, one of the main reasons why you need church is because it's a cornerstone, it's an infrastructure of undergirding the unit of family. You know, I've had most of my friendships that I've developed for babysitting, for help with my children, has come from the church. People who align themselves and attach themselves to me to co-parent with them. You know, if I needed a cup of sugar, I could go to their house. If I needed a babysitter for a couple hours, I had a babysitter at my neighbor's house, you know, and so how are we going to begin to structure and fortify families that have children with seizure disorders or parents that have seizures disorders and they can't care for their children? This is a real, real health disparity, a real concern for managing public health in the community. And so we want to hear from you tonight. On the talk radio, there were so many inquiries around this subject matter and the whole subject matter of EMF radiation and how it is affecting the quality of our life. We just lost a leader in the movement of EMF, Dr. Delbert Blair of Chicago, Illinois. He was the founder of the MediCenter of Chicago. He has for 30 years been telling people about the use of diodes for balancing electromagnetic frequency and radiation in their homes, on their cell phones, on their electronics. He was a voice to be reckoned with. He was an engineer, and he wanted people to know that these elements, that electricity and electrical entities, we're going to be assault weapons against our health. And 30 years later, we find that he was on the cutting edge, that everything he said was true. Everything he predicted in terms of health disparities is now real. And seizure disorders is one of them. And so we're giving voice to seizure on this Seizure Talk Radio because we have to begin to make a change. We have to begin to lift up a level of consciousness that brings people to an awareness that you got to know what you're living in. You got to know what those radiation numbers are on the wall behind the bed, because the World Health Organization is saying that exposure to high electrical radiation is probable cause of seizures. You've got to know what those chemicals are that are converging in your community from the manufacturing down the street or in the next city over. Why? Because if you are around plastic manufacturing and that corporation is using chromium-6, it can predisposition you to seizures. Chromium-6 causes seizures, and it can predisposition you to seizures. And we talk about using the nanotechnologies to retrofit your home so that you can reduce the assault. The technology was not engineered to treat, diagnose, cure, or prevent disease. However, people are testifying how they are manipulating it, how they are using it, how they are diversifying the application of it, how they are using it to balance household chemicals, to biobalance electromagnetic radiation in their homes, and they are having a more comfortable living. I met a lady about 3 days ago who's had a house where her son, I believe, developed a seizure disorder. They moved into this house and he had a seizure, and she said it was so frightening that they moved in that house and then they moved out of that house, because she said there was just something about that house that made them sick. And I was saying to her that that's not the first time I've heard that story. I myself moved into a house, and when I got sick, the morning, about 1:30 in the morning, I left out of that house, and I never went back to sleep another night in my home. And I have met so many people across America that say, "Doc, we marked this house, I moved in this house, I rented this house, and there was something in that house that made us sick, and we felt death. And we just walked out and never went back." And I said, "I know that feeling, because that's how I got into this campaign, because I couldn't realize a house could make you sick. It could create a seizure disorder, and it could wreak havoc on your health." And so, Dr. Bankston, have you joined us yet? If not, I'm just going to keep on rolling. So we give this opportunity on this segment to talk about seizures so that the parents that have children with seizure disorders or people who have seizures that want to share with how they are mitigating their homes, how they are retrofitting their shoes, how they're using this extraordinary, revolutionary, gold medal winning nanotechnology to sustain their lives. And I heard that Don Hunter was on the radio show with me this afternoon on Radio 1. He was talking about how effective the nanotechnology has been. And the primary reason is that it is very effective in blocking radiation absorption, and it is very effective in keeping the body balanced. So people are actually using it as a grounding apparatus when they're putting it in their shoes. And so if we have no further, I'm going to open up the lines now. Does anybody want to share? Rod, if you're still on from Canada, I want you to talk a little bit, share a little bit about what's happening in Canada with the smart meters.
Well, Dr. A, I got an email from Take Back Your Power late January. And in Ontario, in the rural area, they are pulling out over 100,000 smart meters because they're not communicating. They're not doing their job. They're charging people too much when they do communicate.
Wow.
And so, you know, the whole effort with these smart meters is really a huge dud, and it's all government money for the most part, supporting the electric utilities. And apart from harming your health because of the microwaves piggybacking over your electrical wiring, people don't like them. And, you know, the smart meters aren't even approved by Underwriters Laboratory. In Canada,
yeah.
they're approved by Industry Canada. And, you know, personally, does Industry Canada really know what they're approving? That's my question, my own personal question. So in the U.S., from what I can understand, is that any lawsuit against a utility company with the smart meters, there's nothing you can do. Because they are the utility companies are protected by Congress. So the one thing I can suggest to anybody out there listening is go to Take Back Your Power. I think it's .net, but Google will bring it up for you. And watch that video, that documentary. It's an hour and a half. Try YouTube, but it's excellent. And, you know, it helps educate people on the effects of microwaves and EMFs. So, you know, it's worth your time to check it out. And please do so, because when you go to the website, you can also purchase copies of the videos on DVDs, if you wish. And it's worth having to show people. And I loan out my copy all the time, and people are just, you know, really shocked at how the microwaves do affect our metabolism. Back to you, Doctor.
Rod, I want to thank you for sharing that information with us because, ladies and gentlemen, we have not because we ask not. And if we sit down and we say not and we don't share what's going on, we don't share how we feel, we don't share the evolution of grace of making the world a better place for the children and for the young people that are coming behind us, then they will be consumed. And you know, the big question now is, will robots outrun us? Will robots take over for mankind? And certainly if we create an environment where we can't live, where we can't breathe, where we can't have children to inherit the legacies that we're building for them. I mean, I think about if every child is born autistic, if every child has a seizure disorder and cannot live to the age of 25, how will we undergird these big corporations and enterprises that require people that have the skill for critical thought? The very salvation of humanity depends upon us making critical and healthy decisions now. And that's my quest for on this radio. How can we use this nanotechnology, get the word out to the world that there is a source, but at the same time we have to use some kind of wisdom and some kind of constraint. How much is too much radio frequency for us to sustain exposure to? Will there be some type of cap put on how many cell phone towers and antennas can be put in our communities, in our neighborhoods, to safeguard us? What is the future? These are real questions that we have to ask. And while we're asking those questions, we have to figure out the solutions of how we will sustain and how we will survive. On the radio show today with Carl Nelson, there was so much conversation from electricians that called in that were talking about how smart meters undergird the grounding apparatuses that are in homes and how people were going crazy and how people were feeling like ants were crawling all over them because their nerves were not getting enough oxygen and enough nutrients, and they felt like they had little pin pricks all going through their body with those smart meters on their house. And the electrician was talking about how that smart meter really interrupted the grounding apparatus of the home and how its potential risk for making people go crazy. I mean, that was, like, really frightening. And so I'm happy to see that there's some progress being made in various places in the world where people are like, we're not playing this. You see, in Italy, the president of Italy has unleashed an effort to take smart meters out of all schools in the country, saying that they're diabolical to the health of Italians. And so, you know, you see that kind of effort going on in other countries, you have to stop and ask the question, are we just as vulnerable as them? Is this the reason behind we're having Columbines and all this and violence in our university campuses? I mean, I've been watching the news, what happened in Arizona. What would make two young teenagers, 15 years old, want to commit suicide, go to school to commit suicide? You know, what makes a young man go to college and open fire on his classmates and kill innocent people and people who have served in the armed forces? I mean, how can a billionaire be sleeping in his multi-million-dollar mansion and wake up and kill his wife and his precious children? People are going insane, and nobody can explain the magnitude of their rage, and it's like they're in shock. And when they snap out of it, they can't believe the horrific crime that they have committed, that the shed blood of the innocent. There's got to be something to this, and I encourage everybody to get that radio show and listen to the testimony of that electrician that was on from Atlanta and how he said he went out himself, took the smart meter off and put another analog meter back on that house, and got his doctor to write a prescription that he could not, under no circumstances, have a smart meter on his house. So these are the opportunities that we can engage. These are the challenges that we are facing. And I want to open the lines now. We have a few minutes. If anybody wants to share anything else on this platform about seizures and what's happening with Wi-Fi and smart meters in their community, be it Canada or the U.S. Does anybody else have anything they want to share?
Terry, Mario here and from Quebec.
Oh, hi, Mario.
Are you hearing me okay? Are you hearing me okay?
Yes, we hear you okay.
Okay, just a few comments about smart meter. With Dr. A's technology, me and Rod, we had the formation, and we can actually harmonize smart meter, eh? So I've tested many of them after installation of it. Before, they were really, really offset as for balance goes, neurological balance. And as soon as we harmonize the smart meter, bingo, 100% solid. And lately, as a matter of fact, one of my clients yesterday, I used a meter, wireless meter, just on the socket or on the smart meter, and it was showing 50 milligauss, Dr. A. And
wow.
Above and below, it's funny, but it went up to 200 milligauss. 200 milligauss is the top of this meter. So there is a lot of bombarding, you know, microwave bombarding in the vicinity of smart meters. That's up to you, Dr. A. Are we still there?
I am.
Oh.
Yes, we're still online.
Oh, Dr. A? Maybe she went out for a little break. But anyway, Dr. Lally's technology around smart meter functions, because not everybody actually can say, well, I'm going to deinstall the smart meter, because sometimes you live in an apartment, there is 16 smart meter, and it's all locked up in the room, eh? Have any comment, Rod?
Well, don't live above that room.
Well, don't live anywhere near.
Yeah, that's
Who else is on the line?
Ida is still here.
I'm here.
Dr. Alali?
Yes, can you hear me?
Yes, we hear you now.
Yes. I'm sorry, that was our next guest calling in on the line that said that they injured their back and they wanted to reschedule for the show. But anyway, but go ahead.
No, I just finished telling about the solutions that we have for smart meters. And that the smart meter, that one of them was actually showing 50 milligauss right on the socket. And above
wow.
and below, beyond 200 milligauss.
Wow.
Could you imagine the bombarding microwave around that, eh?
Absolutely. The radio frequencies behind around those smart meters, this is so amazing how you can actually test them. You can use Bedort testing and you will see that you have to be almost 10 to 12 feet away from a smart meter before you're not feeling the vibration and the frequency of it that can actually cause you to lose energy and become imbalanced. And so we can take the guessing work out of it now, because with applied kinetics, you can actually measure through muscle response testing or through Bedort testing your response to the smart meter. And we're living in the day where you don't have to guess anymore. You can know what your body's response is. We cannot afford to be oriented to industry standards, because industry is saying that, people can tolerate 1 milligauss of this EMF radiation. And I have yet to meet a person who can tolerate 1 milligauss of radiation in their hand through even a cell phone device. So the opportunity is now for us to use nanotechnology to biobalance so we can keep our energy. And you're absolutely correct, Mario. There's so much health disparity around smart meters that we do need to take a second and maybe even a third look at it. And I'm like the president of Italy. I'd rather err on the side of being conservative than to continue to be evasive of what's in our face and end up having complete cellular mutation and have a creed of people, a race of people that have an intolerance to electricity, and we end up having to be in a world where everybody is sick unto death continuously. So it's 9:33. We're going into our Healthy Smart Homes edition, and I just got off the line. My phone was interrupted by our next guest calling to say that she had a back issue today and has been down all day long, and can she reschedule for the show? And I told her absolutely, because I can tell part of the story. My nursing career has taken me around the world, and I was called to work at King Fahd Hospital in Riyadh, Saudi Arabia. If you've ever lived or if you've ever got on the Internet, I encourage everybody, go on the Internet and read about Riyadh, Saudi Arabia. It's the capital of Saudi Arabia, and it's amazing because there are as many people from the Philippines in Saudi Arabia as there are native Arabs from Saudi Arabia. And when I went over there as a nurse, I went over there as a consultant to be on the opening team of King Fahd Hospital for the antepartum service. That's where mommies are sick and they're pregnant, and they have to be hospitalized before they deliver their babies. It was quite an honor to be selected to be on the opening team, meaning I got there and put the units together and made sure all the equipment was there before they even had patients. And one of the interesting experiences that I had was we had 7 patients in this new hospital, and 6 of them had the same name, Khalif Al-Anazi. And I was like, wow, how do you distinguish when 6 of your 7 patients have the same name? So So that was my real orientation to patient numbers over patient names, because we had so many patients in the hospital and on the medical wards that was named Muhammad Ali. And my second week there, I was invited to go to a party at the Corps of Engineers, and I met one of the project managers and his family. And he was over building bridges and transportations and some embassies that were in the Middle East. And he became my lifelong friend. And when I met him, because I went to a party, and there was a gentleman there that thought I should be his date for the evening, and I was trying to get out of a date. You know how people set you up for blind dates, and you go there, and you see somebody that looks like they could be Frankenstein's brother? Well, I wasn't about to be hooked with Frankenstein's brother, so I had to renege and left the party and went and crashed another party. And this engineer came in and said, hey, he saw me there by myself. He said, well, how in the world are you going to get back over to Medical City when you don't have a chauffeur and you've left one party where you were supposed to spend the night, and this party is getting ready to shut down? To make a long story short, he became my hero. And I told him, for being my hero, I'm going to hook you up with one of my cousins. And they met and married and spent his career in Saudi Arabia and around over there in the Middle East. And they've retired back here in the United States, and they are so excited about their healthy, smart home. When I when they called me up and said, you know, we can't breathe in our penthouse, the air is so thick here, and they were talking about a number of other health challenges that they were having. And I was saying to them, I said, well, whenever you live in a waterfront, you know, the humidity is always thick. And then when you have gas infrastructure along with electricity, you know, your air quality can be very poor, especially when you have carpet in the house. And so I began to share with them about our healthy, smart home and what happens to the water when we mitigate it and what happens to the electrical system and gas. And him being an engineer, he said, well, you know, that's exactly what we need. So they had us to come to Florida to retrofit their penthouses, their penthouse, and it was almost immediate, within 15 minutes. Mario, if you're still on the line, the same thing that happened on the farm happened in this penthouse, and that was the smells and the air thickness began to thin out. And that was the first thing that was noticed by his wife, that the air quality was just like they were out standing outside and the wind was moving. And then as they began to enjoy the water energetics and see how effective it was in discharging the static in there, in the water as well as in the fruits and vegetables when they washed them, and in anything that they put in the water, they were so thrilled. So we're going to try to see if they're feeling better. They could be on the show next week. His wife was back, was aching, he was attending to her, and that's why they canceled at the last minute. But I want to thank everybody for being on the show tonight. It's exciting, that word of what we're doing and what we're sharing and what we're saying, how you are going throughout your community and you're making a difference and making a change just a little bit at a time. We can affect our families, we can affect the communities in which we live, and we can affect our world. And so I want to continue to encourage each one of you to continue to be an earth angel and spread the word, because in doing so, we're making life better for all of us. And on that note, I want to say I love and appreciate you. I thank you for giving me the strength to climb. I bless everybody. I hope you have a fabulous rest of the week. And I want to say good night. And I'll see everybody next week, same time, same station. Special shout out to Ida from South Carolina. You're absolutely the best. I love and appreciate you and celebrate you for what you bring to the show and to our champion, Nathan. You're just amazing, and we appreciate the strength of making this opportunity available, and to know that your efforts are not in vain. We are now far-reaching, having Radio 1 lifting up our calls to the nation, and I'm excited about what the future holds. We have a better nation in the horizon, a safer nation, because we're all working together as one voice and one heart, and we're making that change that's necessary. So I want to say goodnight to everyone. You can unmute and say goodnight. Everybody have a fabulous week.
Good night, everyone.
Good night,
Ron.
Good night, Ida.
Good night, Ida.
You, Ron.
There we go.
Good night. Jason.
Mission was to save. So he